Tuesday, March 17th. The lesson from Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. In those days, the Lord said to Moses, "Go down from the mountain to your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how stiff-necked this people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should thy wrath blaze up against thine own people, whom thou brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent he brought them out, that he might kill them in the mountains and exterminate them from the face of the earth'? Let thy blazing wrath die down. Relent in punishing your people. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how thou swore to them by thine own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.' So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people." Haydock Commentary. God refers to the people as "thy people" to Moses. That is, they are not worthy to be styled "my people," and thou didst ratify the covenant with me in their name and as their interpreter. Moses, at the first intimation of the people's sin, fell prostrate before the Lord to sue for pardon and pleaded the natural weakness of an ungovernable multitude in order to extenuate their fault. But while he seems bent on punishing them to try his servant, he encourages him inwardly to pray with fervor. Moses insinuates that the glory of God is interested not to punish the Hebrews, lest the Gentiles should blaspheme, particularly as the land of Canaan seemed to be promised unconditionally to the posterity of Abraham, who were now all but one to be exterminated. God honors his friends and rewards their merits, which are the effects of his grace. The Gospel from John chapter 7, verses 14 through 31. At that time, when the feast was already half over, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man come by learning, since he has not studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My teaching is not my own, but his who sent me. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is truthful, and there is no injustice in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and none of you observes the law? Why do you seek to put me to death?" The crowd answered and said, "You have a devil. Who seeks to put you to death?" Jesus answered and said to them, "One work I did, and you all wonder. For this reason Moses gave you the circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And on a Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on a Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you indignant with me because I made a whole man well on the Sabbath? Judge not by appearances, but give just judgment." Some therefore of the people of Jerusalem were saying, "Is not this the man they seek to kill? And behold, he speaks openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the rulers have really come to know that this is the Christ? Yet we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." Jesus, therefore, while teaching in the temple, cried out and said, "You both know me and know where I am from, yet I have not come of myself, but he is true who sent me, whom you do not know. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." They wanted, therefore, to seize him, but no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Many of the people, however, believed in him. Haydock Commentary. Whilst the Jews proceeded no farther than to admire the wisdom of our Savior, when they could have easily seen that what he taught he knew by the power of God, Christ himself reveals to them the source of his wisdom, saying, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." So says St. John Chrysostom. St. Thomas Aquinas, the great doctor of the schools, and styled the angelic doctor, informs us that in all the scriptural difficulties he met with, he uniformly had recourse to prayer, and that he acquired greater light and knowledge at the foot of his crucifix than from any books or masters. My doctrine is not mine, that is, not mine only, but also the Father's, from whom I proceed, and with whom I am always. The law of Moses prescribes that you shall not kill, but this law you transgress, for why do you seek to kill me? You do not observe the law, otherwise you would learn from that law that I am the Christ, and not seek to put me to death when I appear amongst you. So says St. Augustine. If I cure on the Sabbath day, do not you also give circumcision and also cure the wound on the Sabbath? One work I have done. He means the healing of the man who had been ill 38 years. Or he speaks of the cure that he had performed on the paralytic 18 months before, and which had scandalized the Jews. They look upon him as no more than a man, and they thought they knew his father to be Joseph, for they knew his mother and kindred. When the Christ comes, no man will know where he is from. Thus said some of the people, but doubtless the more learned knew Christ was to be born at Bethlehem. The Jews had imbibed this opinion of the secrecy of the origin of Christ from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, "Who shall relate his generation?" But they likewise were acquainted with many other texts of Scripture relative to the Messiah, which plainly point out the place of his birth, namely Bethlehem, and also the place of his residence, when it is said, "He shall be called a Nazarene." His generation is indeed unknown with regard to his divinity, as Christ himself told the Jews in his answer, "He is true that sent me, but you know him not." But as to his humanity, his origin is well known. So says St. Augustine.